Amen. Let me try that one more time. Amen. 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 I surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus. I surrender all. That goes right along with the sermon this morning. This morning, the title of my sermon is I Surrender. I Surrender. This past week, I got up real early, actually yesterday. I came to the church. Shorts on and gym shoes. I had my war gear on. I was prepared for battle. Pickleball. And the person that destroys me every time I play was not there. Yeah, Amber didn't show up. I guess my preparation, my ugly shorts and my ugly shirt just scared her off. No, I have fun. Y'all, listen, I don't know what you guys are doing to me, but you guys have gotten me wrapped up in pickleball. Then I went and bought a racket. I did, yeah, I know. And though my funds are low, I was thinking about buying a good one. Because I have to compete with my man right there. So I have, this game has consumed me. I look forward to Wednesday, and I look forward to Saturday. To get up on a Saturday morning and not go fishing, but to go play pickleball, that tells you everything right there. Thanks to Jimmy. Jimmy's the one that persuaded me to come, and now I am hooked. Turn your Bibles with, if you would, with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. A couple weeks ago, we experienced Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And coming from Resurrection Sunday, my thoughts were, do we understand what it means to be a faithful follower of Christ? Can we actually understand what a faithful follower of Christ truly looks like? I'm not a betting man, but if I were a betting man, I would bet that some would name some things off that what they think a faithful follower of Christ looks like. And obviously, we're not talking about the outer appearance. We're talking about the inner, correct? But one thing that I do know, one thing that must happen, one thing that we cannot walk away from, we have to surrender. I don't care how you lay it out. I don't care how you paint it as beautiful as you want to. I don't care how you draw it. You have to surrender. We got to start there. And so, oddly enough, God brought me to a story all the way back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read a little bit here, starting at verse number 1. And it says, now it came to pass, this is a very familiar story, after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I'll stop right there. If you're familiar with the story, you know where I'm going. If you're not, Abraham, who was called by God when he was 25 years old, God came to him and said, look, I'm going to make you great in the nations. I'm going to make your name great. He says, I'm going to bless you. He says that those that curse you, I will curse them. And he told Abraham, whose name was Abram at the time, he said to go. He said, get out of your country. Get out of your father's house. Get away. And he said, go to a place I'm going to show you. Now, 25 years old, God is telling Abraham to go. He didn't tell Abraham where to go. He told him to go. It started back in the call. See, sometimes, I want you to understand this, sometimes God has to get you out of what you're comfortable with or what you're comfortable in to allow you to depend on him. See, I got to repeat that because I don't know if everybody got it. Sometimes God will get you out of your comfortable area in your life so you can depend on him totally. And when you depend on him totally, that's when you can start walking in your purpose. But the truth of the matter is, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to get out of what we're comfortable in. You know, we all come to church this morning. And I'm not going to lie. Last time I preached, I was uncomfortable. The shoes were killing my feet. But I'm quite comfortable. For a long time, there's dare do I go to church without a tie and suit on. But I'm comfortable. Not all comfortable is bad. Some comfortable is good. That's why God, we call out and cry out to God, Lord, bring me comfort. But sometimes God has to get us out of the place we're in so he can really use you. Because sometimes when we're comfortable, we don't make ourselves available. Oh, look, come on now, I'm preaching. Sometimes the comfortability keeps us from making ourselves available for God to use. The Bible says that he went. He went and he got Sarah, and he got his nephew Lot, and they went. They left. And over a period of time, the Bible shows us that Abraham was not perfect. Boy, the lies start coming out. I don't have enough time to go through it all. But yes, life started to take over and doubt started to come in. And even when God said, listen, Abraham, I promise you a son to Sarah. What? You're going to wait all this time until I get old in my age? And you're going to promise me a son? Don't tell me he didn't doubt. Yeah, they had doubt. So much doubt that Sarah said, look, it ain't going to happen. I'm too old. It's just not going to work for me. So won't you take my maid service, Hagar, and have a child with her? And she did that. He did that. And Ishmael came. Sometimes, I want you to hear me, sometimes we put ourselves in a situation. We make some bad decisions that are not of God. And next thing, we don't like the circumstances that were dealt. Did I say that too quick? Sometimes our decisions that we make without God gives us a circumstances that we don't want. A circumstances that we can't handle. And then we try to find a way to get out of what we created. And sometimes what really bugs me is then we give the devil credit for our own doing. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. What is he talking about? Yeah, we all, how you feel today? I don't know, the devil got me all wrapped up. You know, we give the devil sometimes too much credit. Because sometimes it's just us. It's just us. Sarah and Abraham put themselves in a bad situation. Sarah did not like it, but she's the one that brought it to Abraham. And then she got to run them off. If you go on in Abraham's life, you see that God comes to Abraham again in chapter 17. In chapter 17, God says something to Abraham that is very crucial. And I'm going to find it for you. 17, verse 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am mighty, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. 99, he says, walk before me. What is he saying? He says, remain in my presence. Oh, y'all, I'm going somewhere. Remain in my presence. That is so key. Everybody, I want you to hear me. We could get caught up in all kinds of things in life, but what God really wants us to do is to remain in his presence. We could get caught up in church stuff and be out of his presence. God wants us to remain, and so he told Abraham to walk with me, walk before me, be in my presence. And here, chapter 22, God is putting him to the test, and he says, I want you to take your boy. Can you imagine who all has children? Raise your hand. Can you imagine if God says, take your son and go sacrifice? How many of us would have said, God, you lying? There's no way I can do that. There's no way. Come on, you telling me to do what? Can you imagine Abraham? He's been asking. He's been looking for this for a long, long time, and now you want me to take him? I'll give you Ishmael. But I want you to see something in verse number 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. The Bible doesn't tell us that he wrestled with this overnight. The Bible didn't say that Abraham fell on his knees and was crying, and Abraham was going back and forth with God pleading. It didn't say none of that. It says that Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll give you a sneak peek. How in the world does a man do this? There's something that set Abraham apart. There's something that set Abraham apart. Abraham knew he couldn't go to Sarah. Could you imagine if I went to my wife and said, hey, babe, God told me that I got to take our son to the altar. Now, she's looking at me crazy right now just with the thought of that. She was like, no, you know what? If anybody's going to the altar, it'd be you. If we're going to sacrifice somebody, it's going to be you. I know you didn't come with it. God ain't told you that. Look, God tells me sometimes, I'm going to put our business out there. Sometimes God tells me something that is small. And sometimes my wife like, God didn't tell you that. Can you imagine me saying, look, we're going to take our firstborn and we're going to sacrifice because God told us to. No, Abraham just went. He went, and then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but did you read what I just read? How could he do it? Abraham is set apart. He's different. There's a connection that he has with God. But look what Abraham said. He said, look, guys, I want you to hang out here with the donkey, me and the lad, me and my son. We're going to go, but we'll be right back. For, I don't know, many years, I didn't catch that. Man, when I started to read the Bible when I was 16 and 17, I didn't catch that. Matter of fact, I think I was 10 when I preached the sermon about this. I didn't catch that. Abraham told him, me and the lad will be right back. But Abraham is going to sacrifice his son. What was it? It was trust. It was trust. And he knew that God some way was going to provide. He knew this. Either he's going to raise my son back alive, or he was going to provide a substitute. He was willing to go all the way through with it, because he knew that God would provide. What trust did he have? What faith did he have? And what I like about this story is the faith that God had in Abraham. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. The faith that God had in Abraham. He knew, he put him to the test. He knew that Abraham was going to be obedient. How much faith does God have in you? How much faith does God have in you that you're going to walk in your purpose and that you're going to do the things that he needs you to do? How much faith does he have in you that you're going to make yourself available to him? You know the story. Abraham takes his son. And they're walking, and the boy says, I see the wood. I see everything we need for the sacrifice. But, Father, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, he will supply. He will provide. Can you imagine Abraham looking down at his boy and saying, you are the sacrifice? And the Bible doesn't say, this is amazing. When he got up and laid him down, he laid his boy down, that there was no fight in the boy. There was no fight in the boy. And as he was about to slay, an angel appeared and said, no. I want to talk to you this morning. About surrendering. Abraham displays great surrender to God. Abraham was willing to sacrifice the one thing he loved. I got a question. Is there something that you need to sacrifice to God today? Is there something that you need to surrender to God today? Is there something that is holding you back of becoming who God wants you to become? Is there something in your life that you need to surrender to God today? Don't wait another day and surrender it today. We all have something that's keeping us from God. We all got something that we need to lay on the altar and say, here it is, God. I make this sacrifice to you. I surrender to you and submit myself to you, O Lord. In our journey to understanding surrender to God, we realize it's more than just a passive act. It's a daily decision that influences the entirety of our Christian life. Surrendering to God isn't about admitting defeat, but about recognizing and accepting God's absolute sovereignty and love that he has for us. It becomes a transformative process where we allow God to lead us, to mold us, and to perfect us to his will. There's three things that I want to mention before we go. And if I stay a little bit to my notes, we get out here real early. Man, okay, y'all must want me to preach all the way to 12. Okay, I like that. I thought I was going to hear a lot of amen. I just want to share three things. The first two might go a little quick because that last one is vital. But the first one is surrendering your life to God elevates your faith in God. When you surrender, when you truly, genuinely surrender to God, it will elevate your faith and what is called unwavering faith. How many of us found ourselves in a situation and our faith started to waver? When you didn't have enough money at the end of the month and you didn't know what you were going to do and you started to panic, you started to your anxiety started to go up and you was willing to do anything but just trust in God and believe that he's going to make a way. How many of y'all experienced when God just showed up on time, when you didn't expect it, when you didn't think it was going to happen, and all of a sudden God came through for you, he would do it. Won't he do it? I heard you back in the back. But many of us find ourselves wavering in faith. And you're saying, preacher, what are you trying to say? We're supposed to have perfect faith. No. But I'm saying if you truly surrender to God, there's something that happens. When you truly surrender to God, you allow the Holy Spirit to have presence in you. And as the Holy Spirit presence is in you, it starts perfecting you. It starts to elevate things that are supposed to be in you because of what is in Christ starts to come and manifest itself in you. So your faith becomes elevated. Some of us, there might be a disconnection. Some of us might just be going through the motion. But surrendering your life to God elevates your faith in God. A person with little faith may succumb when faced with challenges that leads to stress and high anxiety. It can be led to people becoming more pessimistic because they feel they don't have any control over their lives, and they may find it hard to entrust their life to something they cannot see. So faith is hard. Has anybody ever been electrocuted? Was that you, Jimmy? That figures. I would think that. Well, you deal with electricity. So, of course, you pipe it. Yeah. If you don't stay connected to the power source, you ever had a plug that's halfway in the socket? It's halfway in the socket. Sometimes you turn the light on and the light don't work and you think the light bulb is dead. No, it's just hanging out. And it's not getting the power that it needs to turn it on. Some of us so-called Christians, we halfway got the plug in the socket, and sometimes we're Christians, and sometimes the light is out. Oh, y'all missing that right there. But if we just stay connected to the power source, our faith will elevate. Not only our faith, but the second one is our trust in God. We say we love God, but are we willing to sacrifice what's dearest to us? Judson Van Deventer, if I said that correctly, followed God's call into evangelism. And later he penned the beloved hymn that was sung a few minutes ago, "I Surrender All." It says, in time, God's called Justin back into teaching, and one of his students was a young man by the name of Billy Graham. Can you imagine having a student like Billy Graham? Look at a life that Billy Graham has had. God's plan for our life has purpose. It has purpose. If we could just imagine what God's plan is for your life and sit back and not get caught up trying to have control of your own. The writer of the song said that he struggled in his life. Life started to just be a humongous struggle until he surrendered all to Christ. We sing that song, "I surrender all." But some of us, "I surrender half, a little, some." We got to surrender all. He longs for us to be willing to surrender what is dearest. It just seems like that's the least that we can do. After all, he sacrificed for us his only begotten son. See, trusting the Lord with all your heart is an act of faith, surrendering of the doubts and the fears. It means entrusting our lives, our plans, our future into the capable hands of Christ. It involves seeking his guidance, following his word, aligning our will with his, and relying on his promises. You know what Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. In one verse, it says, submit to him. In all of your ways, submit to him. Again, not half of your ways, not some of your ways, not a little of your ways, but all of your ways. Submit to him. And we can trust that he will guide us on the right path. Surrendering implies trust, a belief in God's goodness, faithfulness, and his plans for us. It means letting go of our plans, our worries, our control, trusting that God's ways are highest than ours, and trust that that this trust is blind, but it's built on a relationship we develop with God. What does a follower of Christ look like? What does it look like? What does it mean to be a faithful follower of Christ? Here's number one. Relationship. Relationship. Surrendering your life to God leads to holiness, y'all. It leads to holiness. Yes, Abraham was faithful. Yes, he didn't lean to his own understanding. He submitted his all to God, and yes, he trusted God that God would provide, yes. But there's something that set him apart. Holy is what? What does holy mean? Anybody? Let's have some interaction. Set apart. Set apart. So many times in our lives, we think that we can make ourselves holy. So many times in our lives, we think that there's stuff that we can do that creates holiness. But the truth of the matter, we can't create holiness because we cannot become perfect. Not yet. But it's the Holy Spirit that is in us that's perfecting us that can lead to holiness. If you guys got that, I asked you guys to put something on the screen. Now look at this. Sometimes we think a faithful follower of Christ is what we do. The more we do, the more faithful follower we are. Right? We weigh ourselves down. We weigh ourselves down, and we actually put a burden on ourselves because we're so consumed on what we do as far as good deeds or make sure that we don't do anything bad. Attend church every week. Read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Consistently give a portion of your income, your tithes and offering. Regularly share the gospel with others. Be good husband, wife, father, and mother and daughter. There's some more. Work hard at your job. Don't gossip. Don't disrespect others. Don't break the Ten Commandments. It's all about doing good. And I'm going to tell you real quick, there's nothing wrong with that. Those things are good. But what happens is this. We think that we're going to get to heaven and we're going to have, Jesus is going to sit down and look at our attendance record. He's going to look and have these measurements that, you read your book every day. You prayed every day. But what happens to us, these things become our religion. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. I think I done lost y'all. Because in our mind, we are told that this is what Christians do. This is faithfully following Christ. Now, every single one of those things, there's nothing wrong with them. Matter of fact, this is the difference. There's people that follow all these. There's another list. Give me the other list. Yeah. Go to Bible study, small groups, Sunday school classes. Study the Bible for a couple hours every day. Learn the right answers to difficult theological questions. Be able to recite creeds and dogmas. Memorize enormous amounts of scriptures, explain deep theology truths. All of this, yes. The difference is when there's relationship and not religion, coming to church is not, I got to go to church. It's, I get to go to church. Y'all missing it. It's not that I got to read the Bible. I get to read the Bible. It's not that I have to pray. Oh, I get to pray. It's not that I have to talk to God. I want to talk to God. There's the difference. Hey, all of these things, yes. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, let me read this verse. It says, look, I understand these things are needed. I got to make sure that you're clear, but Paul says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Yes, these things are, yes, vital. We need to do them. But it's the heart. It's the attitude that makes the difference. Yes, I get to come to church. Yes, I get to be a part of this committee. Yes, I get to be a part of this ministry. A lot of times, listen to me, even us pastors, it becomes religion. It becomes a ritual. We just go through it. It becomes a job. What's a faithful follower of Christ? A person who is led by the Spirit. That's led by the Spirit. And when you are led by the Spirit, that's why I tell you this. People try to check me sometimes. If the Spirit is in you, you're going to desire to read this word. It's not going to become, I need to read the Bible today. All right, God, I'm going to read it. And you read two chapters, and you think you please God. No, if the Spirit is in you, you're going to long to read his word. You're going to long to get to know about God. You want to long it. It's going to be deep in you. It's going to be pouring out. You're going to want to be in his presence at all times because the Spirit is in you. I don't know if I'm going to find it. But there's a verse that says that we were crucified with Christ. And that if you believe that Christ is in you, this author, Vance Pittman, Man, when I read his book, it just floored me, because for years in my life, I was thinking like this, and I just thought maybe I was off, and I was afraid to tell anybody. But he says, stop living for Jesus so Jesus can live through you. That's what a faithful follower of Christ is. It's Jesus literally living through you. See, we try to live for Christ. We do the things. We do the things. But no, he wants to live through you. Now, I want you to take a few minutes. I want you to think about that. Because all you got to do is go back into your mind what Jesus' ministry was. What was Jesus all about? Think about his compassion. Think about his love. Think about how Jesus operated in his ministry. He came down to save us, yes, but he also came and he was a model to us. How he interacted with the disciples. How he interacted with others. That's the model of a faithful Christian, is to allow Jesus to flow through you. That's to let him flow through you. And if we let him flow through us, guess what happens in our life? There's a transformation that takes place. The Bible says when we receive salvation that the old is what? Past. It's gone, but we become what? New creation, new creature. And if you start letting Jesus live through you, wow, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to give you the power that perfects you. Jesus modeled what it looks like to live in total dependence on the Holy Spirit through moment-by-moment fellowship with the Father. If you go back and you look at what Jesus did, he always was in communication with the Father. He always wanted to be in the presence with his Father. There was always that connection, and that's what should be in us. If the Holy Spirit, the power, moment by moment, is flowing through us, is having that desire, that fellowship with the Father. Jesus was more than just a model. He was God in the flesh, who atoned for the sins of the world. But it doesn't diminish the reality. In his humanity, he modeled what it looks like to live in complete dependence on the Spirit through the intimacy with the Father. As we allow Jesus to live his life through us by the power of his Spirit, and not to try to become holy. We become holy by surrendering our lives to God. His will for our will allows the power of the Holy Spirit to perfect us into holiness. That sets us apart. If you look around the world, church has become worldly. Come on. I shouldn't have to say come on in that, because what's happening is the world is being brought into the church. It's hard. If you go out in the world, sometimes you don't see those that are set apart. Now it's all. See, there's one thing I don't do. I don't listen to the news. I don't watch the news. But I have a habit of being on Facebook. I don't really post a lot. I got a church page on there. I actually got two church pages. Yeah, two church pages on there. But occasionally, because I'm connected to church, I get a lot of church videos. A smartphone, it does that. It connects you. Look, do a test. Go into your phone and Google anything, and next thing you know, you'll see something coming in your Facebook that's connected to what you Googled. So I do. I get a lot of, I see services. In a week, I see so many services. And I'm like, wow. I don't know if they're in the club or they're at church. I can't tell. I'm talking about they doing some club dances that my wife used to do when she was in the club. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That one just came to me, y'all. That had to be the Holy Spirit because that just came to me. I didn't know her when she was clubbing, y'all, so I don't know. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, I'm talking about, look, let's be real. I got a couple minutes. Let's be real. Who's all clubbed before? Now, who's all lying say they haven't? Hey, have you been in the club? You see what the ladies wear in the club? Y'all men, come on now. I know. What you see in the club, you shouldn't be seeing done in the church. But pastors have wavered. They've compromised. And what has happened is the world has now affected the church. And you were thinking, well, hold on, I'm kind of confused. Don't we want the world in the church? Yes, we want the world, the lost, the shut-in, the sick. Yes, we do. But these ain't worldly. Well, maybe, I don't know. But these are church folk. These are proclaimed faithful followers of Christ. And what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is there's no desire for holiness. There's not. We're quick just to do what we want to do. And God's this gracious God, yes, he is, that's just going to forget everything we do. But the truth of the Bible, if you read this, there should be a longing and desire for holiness that you can't do on your own. You can only get it by submitting, by surrendering to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to perfect in you. That's it. To allow Jesus to live through you. Imagine if you give your life and surrender all to him. And imagine if you allow Jesus to have his way with you and he lives through you. Imagine how much of an impact that you can make for the kingdom. How much impact that you can make in this community right here. I'm telling you, let him live through you and see the difference it makes. Now, I'm gonna be honest. I'm going to shut it down. I had to come to this place. See, I'm not just talking. I'm not just up here preaching. I'm telling you what I've experienced. I'm telling you what I've had to go through myself. I played that coming to church. I came to church. I did what they wanted me to do. I played that role, and I had one foot out the church. I had one foot in the church. And even when I had 2 feet in, I was doing the religious things. I showed up, and I taught Sunday school, but I was going through the motions. I can be real. That's why that song that I was going to play, it touches me. Because I remember when I surrendered it all. I remember when I said, Lord, I just want you to use me. I remember when I said, look, Jesus, live through me. I remember that day. day that I got tired of playing church. I got tired of playing church where Sunday school class was just a job. I just went through the motions. I had to come to a place, and this is when my life really took a whole different direction. You talk about elevation. Is when I said, okay, I can't just give you a little of me. I got to give you all of me. How can Abraham get to the place of sacrificing his only son? You got to come up. Y'all come on up because that makes me stop. He said, listen, I got to that place because I had to give God my all. I can't half it. I can't play with this. And today, God is saying to each of us, we got to let something go. We got to let some stuff go. Jesus ain't living through you. Jesus is not living through you. There's some things that we got to let go. We have to surrender. And I pray that even today, we surrender. It could be someone here that doesn't know Jesus. I hear you talking about this. I want to know, can you tell me more about surrendering my life to Jesus? You can make that decision today. If you got to come up here and pray, you got to lay something on the altar. I'm going to get down in here and lay some stuff on the altar myself. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. And as the praise team, they do a lovely job of singing. Make that move today. Don't hesitate.